may be seated. Glory. I appreciate all of you being in the house of the Lord, all of our guests. We started this morning talking about the storm in Mark, the 6th chapter, and it's the second storm that the disciples had found themselves in. And I was making the point probably this morning that in fact storms will come to everyone, but storms can bring good things, believe it or not. It depends on how we respond to the storm. And I read out of Psalms, the 92nd chapter, talked about the palm trees and one of our snowbirds, Brother Rodney Hoskinson, texted me before I got home and said, "I'm sitting under two or three palm trees and was watching service." And I had to laugh, and yet I was thankful that he was watching, tuned in, and I also knew he's been kind. He shares with me the bounty of some of the orchards there. Will send me a box of fruit every once in a while. So I'm thankful that he was able to be there and able to watch this morning online. But a palm tree is like a sponge. Its core is not in solid rings, but it's like straws, if you will, and little channels that pull up water, almost sponge-like. And they absorb water in the midst of a storm. It promotes growth for a palm tree. It's one of the fastest times of growth is after a storm. Whenever they have gone through, survived that storm. And then we read Psalms, the 92nd chapter, where David wrote a praise to the Lord. It's a good thing to give thanks. It's a good thing to sing praises, to show forth your loving kindness and your faithfulness. And then down in that psalm, he said, the righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. That means at some point in time, periodically, we're going to get hit with a storm. That's why Simon Peter said, don't think it's strange concerning a fiery trial. I don't like them. You don't like them. And yet here the disciples were on a direct order from the Lord to go to the other side, and they are battling this storm. We read it this morning, but I'll read it again. John, the 6th chapter and the 17th through the 20th verse. They entered the ship, went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark. It was dark. Everybody say it was dark. And Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, which is about 3 to 4 miles out into the water, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. Now you remember in the 4th chapter, whenever the Lord corrected them, he said, why are you fearful and why do you have no faith? Now the Lord did not correct them about having faith, but he did say they were afraid. But he saith unto them, it is I, be not afraid. To read that in the Mark reference, it says, and he saw them toiling in rowing. Now that's amazing. Jesus was out somewhere in the desert, out in the mountain, or he had gone away and he had left his disciples. I'm sure they grabbed the baskets of food, and here's the miracle in front of them, and they're rowing the boat, and the wind begins to pick up, and the harder they row, the further it just is like they're caught, and they are caught in the very middle of the lake. And Jesus is not in the ship. Now, chapter 4 of Mark, he was in the boat. They had to wake him up. Then they said, don't you care that we're going through this? We're going to die. And yet now he is apparently not there. And yet the Bible is clear to say that I don't know how the telescopic vision, unless he was God already, that he was able to see that they were working very hard. They were toiling in rowing. It uses the Greek word that they were exerting themselves. They were doing all that they could do, for the wind was contrary to them. And about the fourth watch, which is somewhere between 3 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the morning, he cometh unto them walking on the sea and would have passed by them. Notice Mark put that in there. He would have walked by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. Now, I don't know if they thought he was the death angel. I don't know if he thought it was a mirage. I don't know what they thought in their mind. But they cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Now, what are you saying? And I know that's a lot that you could talk about in those verses. But I want to tell you something. When you have been doing your best to obey the Lord, you're still going to have some dark times. I wish I could tell you that you will never feel the darkness, but you will feel the darkness. But you have to remember somehow that, guess what? Jesus is the light. And if I can't see anything else, if I can't see another solution, if I can't, I got to get my eyes fixed on the light. And I got to say, Lord, somehow, in the fourth watch they've worked all night. They have done their best. They fed people in the day. You know, you ever had one of those mornings where you get up early and you stay up all day, and then night comes and an hour and 2 hours. Now it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I've never had to drive in a storm till 3 o'clock in the morning. My wife had to last night. Sister Grace Kelly and some of them, about 2:30 or so. But battling a storm, and that they're physically exerting themselves. They've rowed and they're in the middle, only 8 miles at the widest part. They're in the midst of it. They're doing their best. You know, darkness promotes fear. When you don't know which way you're going to go, when you don't know what's going to happen, it's natural to be afraid. You ever been afraid? When you can't figure your way out of this. I don't know what I'm going to do. It's dark. I don't see the end. I don't see the solution. I don't see it getting better. I don't see any hope. That's where they were. And they were doing their best when the storm hit. The storm is dangerous. It was overwhelming. And Jesus wasn't in their boat asleep. They didn't know he was watching them, but they felt almost, they could have felt deserted. He sent us out here, and we're out here on our own now. And like I said, in Mark 4, he told them, you were fearful and have no faith. In Mark 6, he said, you were fearful. But the important thing is, both Mark and John record it as, it is I, or Ami Ego. It is I. When we read it in, instead of saying, it is I, that's like saying, am I. What Jesus said was basically, I am. And that one word, I am, be not afraid. You remember when I preached on the I am? What are you talking about? The I am. John recorded it. Mark records it the same word. Be of good cheer. It is I. I am. Ego, Amy. Amy, ego. The same phrase, only rearranged. What are you saying? When John looked at the I am, when you read it in his book, he said, I am the Messiah. It is I. Be not afraid. I am the bread of life. I am from above. I am the light of the world. I am before Abraham was. I am. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the Son of God. I am the resurrection and life. I am the Lord and Master. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. In Revelation, John said, there was one that sat on the throne, and he said, I am Alpha and Omega. I am the first and the last. What are you saying? When you just have that much knowledge of who Jesus is, and you realize that he hasn't left me, he sees everything I'm going through. He knows where I am, no matter how dark it is, no matter how dangerous it is, no matter, you can survive the storm when you know that the Lord has your back and knows where you are. Amen. But what happens is we get our eyes off of him. That's why Paul wrote it like this whenever he said, you know, this is the same. You know, when we read John, those words that he spoke were the same words that the burning bush said to Moses whenever he was on the backside of the desert. And he said, who am I going to say that you are? And what did the Lord say out of the burning bush? Tell him, I am. And that's why when Jesus would say these words, I am, it caused the Pharisees and Sadducees so much anger because they felt like he was taking the Lord's name in vain. But he wasn't taking the name of the Lord in vain. He was the Lord. He is Jehovah. He is the I am. He is the first and the last. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Paul wrote it like this, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. The storm is blowing, but I'm absorbing all the water I can. I'm keeping my eyes on the light. I'm keeping my focus. You know, it's so easy to get my focus onto everything else. What's going on? Who's this? What did they say? What did they mean? Who did that? What's going on in the politics? What's going on in sports? What's going on? And you can keep up with all of it, or you can say, you know what? The storm is coming. I got to focus on the light right now. I'm sorry, I don't have time to worry about all that stuff. My focus is on the one that commanded the light to shine out of darkness into this glory. Oh, because I'm troubled on every side, yet not distressed. I am perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. What you have to do to survive the storm is get a word from the I am. I will never leave you nor forsake you, and keep absorbing all the water you can. That's why you will see, we encourage, whether young, old, whatever you're going through, find a way to absorb some water. Get in the spirit. I mean, you remember what John said. He said, I was on this little island, and there was just, it was wave after wave after wave after wave. I'd been boiled in oil, but he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. And he said, I saw a sea crystal like glass, no more waves. What are you saying? The storms, I'm no longer worried. Why? I'm focusing on him. I don't know how to make it through the storm. In the fourth chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul goes on to say, for the which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is absorbed in all the water it can get, is renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And the only way you can do that is keep your eye off of the storm and look at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You've got to somehow, if you analyze it to death and if you worry about it too much, you'll never survive the storm. But at some point you just got to say, Lord, I'm going to absorb all the water I can and keep my eyes on you. And they invited him into their boat. Last verse. They willingly received him into the ship. And then this is where the miracle happened. The storm didn't stop. He didn't speak peace to it. But immediately he transported them where they were wanting to go. Oh, I know Philip did that in the book of Acts. You know, he was, you know, preaching in a city in Samaria, and then the Lord brought him out in the desert, and he saw the Ethiopian eunuch, baptized him, and the Bible says immediately the Spirit caught him away. This isn't the first time this has happened. But what am I saying here? And I know my time's up, but let me just explain something to you. If you're doing your best to obey God and you feel like you're in a storm, if you will just keep getting God in your boat, he will take you where you need to go faster than you can get there by all the rowing you can do on your own. You understand? When you're in the midst of a storm, you may think, I need to row harder. I need to row harder. I need to row harder. It seems like if I would row more, it seems like if I would get more people to help me row, if you would just help me row. Let me just tell you, if you would just take 10 minutes to all of a sudden start tapping into the Spirit, you'd be surprised. You'd be able to get where you need to be quicker than if you did the whole thing of rowing. That's the miracle. You say, well, I don't have faith. I'm afraid. They were afraid. But you just have to say, Lord, here it is. I want to willingly invite you in. And I believe we've been doing a lot of praying, and we've been doing a lot of trying to do what we can to absorb the Spirit, tap into the presence of God. And I just believe that it's not going to take as long on the second half of the journey as it's taken thus far. Amen. To get to where we are. Oh, when the Lord opens this up and he gets full where we need to be, and we're absorbing water like palm trees and flourishing, I believe that immediately we're going to see the outpouring of the Holy Ghost like we've been seeing here. Just, you know, wow, you know, here's someone come in baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, someone else. What are you saying? I'm saying, don't you worry about, you say, well, I just feel like I've been struggling so long for this. Get God in the midst of it, and he'll take that, he'll get you to where you want to go. Immediately. You say, well, I don't know if I can last another 5 years. I don't know if I can take it. I don't want to violate any confidences, but some of you know that Costas Brother Joe was raised in foster care, felt a special burden to help a couple young girls that's been in foster care, took them into their home. They've been, it's been a battle, it's been a struggle, it's been wearing them out. I've met with them several times. We were meeting tonight. And I told him, I don't know what's going to happen, but I just somehow believe, she had him up the other night and we were praying for him. I just said, somehow, if we just, as a church body, keep pulling water, spirit into this, that somehow we're going to make it through this storm. Whatever happens, we've been praying, Brother Galone, Brother Tracy, I can go through those that are in a storm, Brother Lou, I got it. We've all got storm. But you know what? I just don't believe that it's going to take God a long time to do the cure. As long as we're fighting the storm, it may feel like it's all night. I'm wore out. I don't know if I can take any more, but if somehow I just, every service I have, and let me tap into your spirit, Lord. I got to get a hold. Why? Because the winds are blowing and I need all the water I can get. Hallelujah. They still in here? I know Joe had to go to work. I want them to stay. We're going to stand. I see. Is that Savannah back there? I want them to bring these girls up. We're going to pray. I don't know what storm you're in. Sister Dottie, you've been in a storm. I want you to come. I got people that have been in a storm. And the Lord just said, you know what? We're going to get water. That's what all I know to do is we're just going to get some water tonight. If you're in a storm, this isn't for you. That's fine. You got the Holy Ghost. Your life's wonderful. Praise God. But we got folks around here that have been in battle. And you know what? Growth is going to happen just as soon as the storm. You're going to see exponential growth just like the palm trees. There they come. Somebody else coming. Here they are. Where are we? We got some folks. Let's find them. If you're here, you want to come join us. We're going to pray. We're going to ask God to give us strength in the midst of the storm. Hallelujah. There's peace in the midst of a storm. Oh,